Well, we're going to be going to the theater. First of all, the movie theater here in May, and then in June, the stage theater. We're going to use these stories from Harry Potter, Star Wars, The Avengers, The Lion King, Les Miserables, The Newsies, and then one surprise there at the end, as a vehicle to tell the story of the gospel. Today is the gospel according to Harry Potter. Now, I know what you're thinking. We're not superseding any biblical message with witchcraft at all. There will be no fancy wand waving. But I did bring my hat, my Arthur Weasley hat. Might get a little hot. We have two very rich scriptures today to explore about love. That's right, love. Love is all over the Harry Potter saga. It's the overall main theme. It's at the heart of the story. But first of all, a word on story and why I'm doing this. The gospel according to this and according to that. Well, there's a great deal of talk about how culture and God just don't mix. And a lot of that is true. A lot of times they are at odds and they are at opposites. Especially if you're talking consumerism and the culture of self that we seem to have pervasive in our society today. But it isn't always the case that the good news cannot be found out there in so-called secular society. God is big. God is big. And God's goodness is reflected in many, many different things. In nature, how can we deny that God is not reflected in the nature that we have seen over the past 2 weeks? Beautiful, beautiful. God is reflected in the love between two people, in a circle of friends, hopefully in a congregation like ours. God's message breaks through in all kinds of ways, and it is in the stories that appeal to us. Stories. Stories have always been a part of our tradition and faith. Our Bible, in fact, contains works of fiction. It's true. The book of Job is a work of fiction. It's written to tell deeper truths about the nature of how God works and how God works with us and the relationship of us to the divine. Some of the most meaningful stories in the New Testament were fables, parables, Jesus's parables that the youth have been studying, fictional stories told in order to communicate deeper truths of the divine and of human nature. Stories, even in our contemporary society, where we hang our hat on reason and information and research, continue to be the most powerful and memorable means that we have to communicate things. Classic high fantasy writers like C.S. Lewis, J.R.R. Tolkien were Christian, and their beliefs were interwoven in their stories that just happened to include orcs and magic and wizards and talking animals. There is nothing evil or demonic in and of itself in J.K. Rowling's writing. You can find spells being cast if you really look into it. You could find just about anything to prove your point. We know about the author's rags-to-riches story. She was on welfare. She was a single mom who, before she started to write about the boy who lived, she was destitute. And now she is the most successful author of all time. She's the first billionaire author. She inspired children, a generation of children, to read big, long books. You remember those long lines at the bookstore at midnight of children and their parents? When her books were put to screen, it became the third most, to this date, the third most successful film franchise of all time. But we're not just using her story because it's popular. We're using her story today because there are few better examples about sacrificial love. Sacrificial love. And as Connie Neal said, who is a pastor who literally wrote the book on the gospel according to Harry Potter, if we want the Christian message to remain relevant in our lives, we need different mediums in order to communicate. So we have here today the gospel according to Harry Potter. The backstory of Harry Potter is that Harry's mother, Lily, steps in front of the Dark Lord Voldemort's spell that he meant to kill Harry, sacrifices herself, dies. And because of that sacrifice, baby Harry is protected. And when Voldemort's spell turned on him, it rebounded upon him, almost killing him, reducing him to just a mere feeble spirit. This protection lasts until Harry gets older, and he is accepted into Hogwarts, and he meets Professor Quirrell, who ends up to be the bad guy at the end of the story. When Professor Quirrell tries to harm him, Harry is protected. Why? Because of his mother's love for him. Talk about Mother's Day. In Harry's second year, because of the bond between Professor Dumbledore and Harry, the Phoenix Fox comes to Harry's rescue and saves his life, heals his wounds, does away with the poison. Fast forward to year 5. At the end of the story, Voldemort and Harry have a little showdown, a battle of mental wills. And Harry says to him, I feel sorry for you because you will never know love. You will never know the bonds of friendship. And in this scene, Harry turns to his friends and says, we have something that he doesn't have, and that is friends. Friends, you will never know that. Because of a few characters' love for Harry's mother, Slughorn, and most notably Snape, they are motivated to work on the side of good. In the final book, in order to save his friends, Harry sacrifices himself, goes into the woods to encounter Voldemort, so a piece of Voldemort's soul would be killed. He could have stayed in heaven, as it were, but he chose to come back to help his friends. And because of Harry's sacrifice, at least in the book version, it was because of Harry's love for his friends and his sacrifice that the evil spells against them didn't have much effect. Harry even offers a chance for Voldemort to turn to good. Have we heard any of this before? We ought to have. There is no greater love, Jesus said, than somebody who lays down his life for a friend. There is no greater love than offering forgiveness and a helping hand, even to enemies. Turn the other cheek. Love your enemies. This is the love of God. This is the love of God. It is designed to be spread into our world through us. This is the love that is desperately needed in our world today, a world that is full of selfishness, full of a lot of cruelty. Those that lay down their life for a righteous cause are never without their reward in the kingdom of heaven. We might not see it now. We might. But we will see our reward in heaven. It is indeed true, as Jesus said, that if we want to find our life, we must be willing to give up our life, as Harry did. Who else has been a martyr for what they believe in, for the greater good, for faith itself? Martin Luther King Jr., Gandhi. Those names have inspired us, have inspired change in our world. Mothers have been laying down their lives since they have been given, since they gave birth to their children, sacrificing for the good of their families, giving up careers, going without luxuries, always being there, you name it. You know the stories of your own lives and how your mothers have touched you. The love of Lily Potter was handed to her son, who shared its virtue to everyone that he knew, and the result saved many lives that changed the history in that fictional story. Jesus, in our world, demonstrated God's love and was handed on to us, disciples. The church has changed history. We have changed the world. We have changed it for the better when we have remembered the purity from which it started in its purest form, and that is in Jesus Christ. But when we forget it, it has spelled some dire consequences. The Inquisition, Crusades, religious persecutions of all kinds throughout the ages. Our most basic tenet of faith is its simplest. Love. Love. Without love, we are nothing. In 1 Corinthians 13, it says we're just a noisy gong. The church is often a noisy gong. Don't be a noisy gong. We must begin and end with love. Love must be at the top of our list of things to do. Generosity, compassion, thoughtfulness, caring, love. If it is not at the top of our list, we should put it at number 2 and 3, all the way to number 8 or number 108 if we have to, just to make sure that we remember it. Love. How do we want to be known? How do we want to be remembered? What will our legacy be? We're going to sing about that at the end. If it is not love, then we need to take a good, hard look at ourselves. When people see us, if we are not known as loving people, forgiving people, accepting people, we're getting something wrong. Let us pray for this virtue. Holy God, we pray for love. We pray that love may grow in our hearts. We pray for the capacity for forgiveness. We pray that we might step forward with courage if it requires it, to do the right thing, to offer a forgiving hand. We pray for our hearts that might look out for the ways that you speak to us all over the world. Be with us in love. Remind us through love. Remind us through our relationships. Bless our relationship with our mothers and grandmothers. Help us to strengthen bonds of family and friends. Let it be a spark that begins here and now with us. We pray this through the Lord of love itself, himself. In his name, amen.